Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today's subject is, well, it's not quite medical marijuana. That would be an oversimplification, but compounds that are derived from hemp are going to be mainstreaming it in 2015. And with us today is Chris Boucher, who is vice president of Cannavest Corporation. They are exploring ways to market some of the benefits of hemp oil. CBD, or cannabidiol, is the active compound. And it's a fascinating compound because it is not hallucinogenic. However, it has some very, very exciting health potential. Chris is vice president of product development, Cannavest, and he's a pioneer in mainstreaming the modern USA hemp industry. Marijuana, not legal most places. Some places, yes, but hemp is an exception. Hemp is legal, and its derivative, CBD, is making some waves in the natural products industry. By the way, Chris, I think you were just out at one of the expos. Was it Expo East? And CBD was really the buzz at Expo East. And then there was a buzz also at the A4M meeting that's now going on in Las Vegas. So I think there's a lot of excitement about this.
Yeah, I think the research and the data out there has really moved a lot of, you know, physicians, doctors, medical people. You know, everyone's trying to find, you know, medicine or cures or herbs. And this thing really has got some legs, and it's got some solid evidence that it can benefit us, you know. I mean, particularly, you know, here in the United States. You know, it was the number one prescribed medicine for almost 100 years. It was in our pharmacopoeia for a while, and they took it out. But, you know, I think history repeats itself. And now that the evidence is out, that you're going to see more and more companies producing products.
Well, I'm actually fascinated by the potential implications of CBD for treating gastrointestinal problems, because I treat a lot of ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, and I'm looking at some exciting scientific papers that suggest that there may be a role to play for CBD in reducing ulceration, inflammation in the intestinal tract. I think that's one of the more important potential applications.
Yeah, I believe there's CB2 receptors in the lower intestines. You know, I'm not a doctor, but I do know from just a lot of our, you know, customers and people out there that have had IBS or Crohn's and certain ailments in the intestinal tract, that inflammation, that CBD actually helps with inflammation in the intestinal tract. And, you know, there's been a series of studies out there, and you know, they seem like they're really solid data out there that people can rely on.
So here's a bit of a paradox that maybe you can help me resolve. It's kind of a two-edged sword, because clearly smoking pot increases your appetite, potentially could make you eat a lot of sweets and get fat. But according to the research, the CBD, which doesn't have the THC, the part that is the hallucinogenic aspect of marijuana, helps to regulate energy metabolism, helps to improve insulin sensitivity. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Yes.
So, wow, you know, that's so suggesting that, well, I mean, it might be a little far-fetched, but on the one hand, marijuana, certainly not a weight loss substance, but possibly, you know, I don't want to make the leap yet, because that would be, you know, jumping the gun, but CBD might actually be a helpful adjunct to people trying to improve their metabolism and lose weight. Certainly wouldn't be harmful.
No, and you know, again, the testimonies out there that people have used it for that specific issue, and, you know, again, the science, you know, is there also. So it's incredible where it's going in that direction.
Right. The science, it's complicated, because I'm looking at diagrams here that remind me of what it was like to take, you know, biochemistry when I was, you know, 20 years old. But I think scientists are in the process of rapidly investigating the potential for this. So in terms of conditions like, well, one aspect of this is stress adaptation. It's interesting that in looking at mice who are exposed to stress, that these types of substances may actually help them adapt better to stress.
Yeah, stress, anxiety, for whatever scientific reasons, that it definitely is a modulator and helps regulate serotonin. And people can, think a little clearer and, relax a little bit more in the sense that your serotonin levels are firing correctly.
Well, I get all kinds of weird questions. We invite our listeners to send us questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and then we discuss the questions on the air. And one of the weirder questions I got recently was, and there are some people who are, maybe they're a little on the fringe, and, so I kind of took it with a grain of salt, suggesting that marijuana is something that can fight cancer. So you should smoke pot for cancer prevention. And I thought, well, that's crazy because, you're inhaling burning leaves and that probably, is more likely to give you cancer than prevent cancer. However, you mentioned a kind of a esoteric word and we kind of jumped over it quickly in the first part of this podcast, the word apoptosis, which is a fancy word, which means that cells that don't know how to die can turn cancerous. And apoptosis is the natural process by which cells, as they age, give up the ghost. And that's a natural process. You actually want apoptosis. You want your cells to die after a certain time, because if they live forever, they can turn cancerous and metastasize throughout your body. So any potential there? I mean, I think research is probably underway looking at CBD-like compounds for cancer.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of research there with apoptosis, and it has been proven in many different studies. I think the University of San Francisco came out with a study about a year and a half ago that was quite interesting, that covered that aspect. And a lot of times when you hear marijuana, I don't want to say cures cancer, they're usually talking about the CBD. So they kind of lump it all in the same category. They until you actually read the research and you see they're actually using the CBD rather than the THC. But THC works also in certain forms, but not smoking. I think smoking is maybe for PTSD or something like that, but I think if you really want to medicate yourself in a proper way, it's, I think, consuming either orally or sublingual. Getting it into your bloodstream and getting it through your liver and into your body, I think it's a lot more beneficial than the smoking aspect of it.
Right. So precisely how do you take CBD? I mean, it's available as an oil. Is it available in capsules? I mean, what are the different ways that people take CBD, and how do they know how much is the right amount to take?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Well, people have taken it topically, for skin, for different ailments on the skin, or eczema, psoriasis, and stuff like that. And then we also have some sprays, some CBD oral sprays, sprayed underneath the tongue in the mucous membrane area, sublingual. And I think it definitely helps absorb into the body better that way than just swallowing the oil. Then we also make veggie caps with that are 25 milligrams each. Our sprays are 100 and 500 milligrams in the entire bottle, so each spray is about 1 or 2 milligrams.
But that's for topical spray. Use or for spraying in the mouth?
For spraying in the mouth.
Okay.
And then we make a salve and a cream and a lotion that's used for neurotopical, pain and stuff like that. That works in certain areas on the skin, neck, hands, feet. There's a number of ways.
It gives new meaning to what would Jesus do, because historically Jesus anointed himself with some kind of cannabis-derived oil.
Yeah, and it is known to kill staph. Mm-hmm. Even Mars, it's incredible. So you imagine when he went into the leper colony and they had that staph infection, what did he do? He wiped them down. He anointed them all in oil.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm looking here. I actually, in preparation for the show, I kind of did a little research on this. I looked at some of the applications. CBD for pediatric seizures. That's one. Another one, interesting, a type of cannabinoid extract. I'm not sure if in this case it was CBD, but a related compound causes regression of endometriosis. This was done in experimental animals, but it shows promise. And you mentioned earlier, cannabinoids and post-traumatic stress. Now, let's say a returning vet doesn't want to just get stoned, which might preclude, getting a job in a security firm. Could they take CBD as an alternative to deal with the stress of post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yes, and we have several people that are veterans that do take it for that specific issue that they have in their life. And they've said, I'll never go a day without taking CBD. So when you get customers like that, it's heartbreaking sometimes that, you know, you hear these people that they're the quality of their life went downhill so fast with whatever ailment, and they come back with a, you know, cannabis based product, and they found some success, and, you know, whether it's PTSD or, you know, other issues, and just again, you know, better quality of life, and better family, and happier people.
Indeed. So, that certainly would be a worthwhile application of CBD, because post-traumatic stress disorder is taking such a toll on our returning military veterans, the high rate of suicides, the high rate of psychiatric disorders, family dysfunction. I mean, it's really a terrible thing.
The VA is doing studies on it right now.
Oh, amazing. Okay, fantastic. I mean, look, you know, what's nice about the VA is that they have, you know, because they had so many problems, they're desperate for solutions, and whatever, you know, high-tech medicines that they've been using in the past, not really working out well. So they're very open to things like meditation, use of herbal medicines, yoga, mindfulness, natural interventions that are less costly and possibly more effective. So this might be an alternative. Where do you think this is going to go? I mean, as vice president of a company that is kind of in on the beginning of all this, let's fast forward to 2020 or 2025. Where do you see this occupying its place in the natural products industry?
Oh, I think it's going to be across the board. It will be like vitamin C. I think the cost will come down. You'll see it in all kinds of products. Anyone that has a nutritional product and they want quality ingredients, they'll use CBD. Whether it's a body care item, whether it's a tincture, whether it's a supplement, you name it, I think you're going to see it across the board. And that's what kind of CannaVest, our business model, is really. The vest is an investment where we've invested in the whole supply chain. We're building this supply chain, the actual manufacturing plants, the processing facilities, and just really gearing up for this multi-billion-dollar industry. As it, as I sit here and speak, it's just it's incredible. Just the how quick and fast it's taken off in the last year.
Yeah, no, I absolutely see that, and I think that laws and regulations will become rationalized. Look, once again, I got to say, I'm not a big fan of overall medical marijuana, so-called medical marijuana legalization, because I think, unfortunately, people abuse it. It's the nose under the tent where people obtain it in surreptitious ways just so that they can spend the day getting high. That, of course, would prejudice some people who really need medical marijuana, so it's a dilemma. But these products are free of the high, they're free of the demotivating side effects, they're not smoked, so they don't cause lung inflammation, and they're also not going to contribute to a high rate of automobile accidents, because you can take CBD, drive a car, use a piece of machinery, it's not going to affect your judgment or coordination, correct?
It's totally correct. My mother-in-law, she's lives about 10 miles away, and she stopped driving about a year ago just because she was having serious anxiety driving, and she bumped the car quite a few times, and so she started taking some CBD to deal with her anxiety. And one day she drove into town, and she said, it's the first time in a year that I drove, and I don't have any anxiety. That was 6 months ago. And now she drives every day. She just makes sure she takes her CBD in the morning, and it takes about an hour or so for it to really make her, feel anything. And she gets behind the wheel and, change the quality of her life.
Well, that's quite remarkable. Just a technical aspect of this, for those people who are involved in, you know, security jobs, law enforcement, military, you know, with, or sports where they do frequent drug testing, is there a taint of THC that could result in a false positive drug test?
You know, that's a good question. And just like I think any other herb or item, like, say, you know, like I said, poppy seeds.
Even poppy seeds from a bagel can sometimes trigger a false positive test.
Yeah, yeah. So you got to be careful. If you have a job, you have a family, you have a career, you don't want to be taking anything that might jeopardize that in some mm-hmm. way. So, you know, we've never had anyone that tests positive. But, you know, that the situation is always there that that potentially could happen. But again, you know, it's, you know, people that have sensitive jobs like that, they don't take certain cold medicines, certain, you know, they don't eat poppy seeds. And so we just tell people to be careful, you know, and
okay.
be sensitive.
But actually, when it comes down to the products that you sell, I think there it may be like a very tiny amount of THC, because it's virtually impossible to completely extract the THC. But what is the level of purity of a CBD product vis-a-vis the THC content?
Okay, for instance, like our capsules mm-hmm. are 0.0007% THC. The
okay.
tinctures are, you can see our COAs, we have some certificate of analysis.
Well, that's what, that's like 7/10,000ths or 7/100,000ths, something like that. I'm trying to do the math.
7/10,000ths, yeah. It's
okay.
about
7/10,000ths of a percent. Okay.
Yeah, I think it might come out to like 70 parts per million or something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
So it's just not enough to get you high or even fail a test, but the potential is there. Back in the 90s when I sold hemp seed oil, mm-hmm. I was one of the largest importers of hemp seed oil in the 90s. And when the DEA decided to outlaw the hemp oil and the hemp seeds, they had a lot of guys in the military, you know, failing their drug test. And they would go and show their sergeant, you know, I took this hemp seed oil.
Right.
Bought it at the local supermarket. And I think this is why I failed my test.
Right.
Well, they were actually lying.
Exactly.
You yeah. know, they'd have to drink, you know,
right.
20 gallons of the stuff. But,
yeah.
You know, it was an issue where, you know, people were using it in a defensive way of that nature.
Well, let's digress for a moment, because you're a hemp expert. And in the concluding minutes of this broadcast, their hemp is actually a pretty good food, right? It's it's like sort of like chia seed, and it's in its composition it has some omega-3 oils as well, and I think it has a fair amount of protein. So a hemp derived you know, foods actually have some potential here, right?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that you brought that up. I mean, the omega fatty acids, the linolenic and linoleic fatty acids you find in hemp seed, it's got a 3-to-1 ratio of omega 6 to 3, which the human body, I think, is a 2-to-1 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a, you know, pretty close match to the human body's ratio of omega fatty acids. And the protein, right now, it's considered one of the best digestible proteins, vegetable proteins we know of. The whole weightlifting protein industry is all, a lot of the big companies are adding hemp protein into their protein powder mixes. It processes a lot better in the body than whey or soy, and the result is that the weightlifters and the sports people really feel it, and they can see the difference, and they feel the difference.
And of course, hemp was used to make rope historically, and is a good ingredient for clothing and fabric, right?
Yeah, back in the old days, they used to say only dopes smoke rope.
There you go, right?
But even the word, you know, cannabis or canvas is from the
wow.
word cannabis. So
oh,
every time you say
that's
canvas,
fascinating.
Yeah. So all your paintings, everything that was, you know, made out of canvas was made, it was basically hemp. Or the word canopy, which is that's like Polish canopy, which is a cover, means cannabis.
Hmm.
Even the word pajamas, pajima, in Korean, that means men's marijuana pants. Pajama.
Okay, interesting.
So it's
factoids
kind of embedded linguistically into our language. It's quite ironic that you know, it's been around for so long. So.
Okay, well, so, you know, I really wanted to call up my audience's attention to this, because I think this is a phenomenon that's really going to take off, as you suggest, and we wanted to preview it in 2014, because we're going to bring you continued updates in 2015 from scientific experts who have studied this. And soon coming to a health food store near you or a website near you, CBD products that will have health applications. So I want to thank you very much, Chris Boucher. And what's today's Intelligent Medicine call to action? Where can people get more resources on this?
Yes, they can go to pluscbdoil.com. That's plus, P-L-U-S, CBD.com. Or they can go to cannavest.com. Or they could call our 800 number, 1-855-758-7223. And you know, I'm not trying to plug the products as much as I'm trying to plug the information. You know, go to our website, look around, and there's a lot of resource information that if you're in the medical field or you're a doctor, you know, do your own research and then come back, and you'll really, I think, open up a whole new area of potential healing products.
This just gives me one additional point to cover with you. Because there's been an explosion of interest in this, in these products, are there unethical manufacturers out there putting out products of substandard quality?
Oh, yeah, there's always. There's some people doing MLMs, multi-level marketing, where they're just putting like a eighth of a gram or eighth of a milligram in a product and calling it CBD.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you really have to – when you buy a product that has CBD in it, it should come with a COA, a certificate of analysis, either from a third-party research lab that gives you the percentages and how much is put in there. And, you know, that way you actually know what you're getting. You know the dose that you're doing. A lot of these people are just, you know, making CBD and putting it in a bottle without any type of, you know, certificate of analysis or a, you know, anything of that nature.
Okay. So I think that's an important point to remember. So cannavest.com, the place where a lot of this really started, they're doing some legitimate promotion and research on this very important new substance. So thank you very much, Chris Boucher, for sharing your perspective on what promises to be a revolution in nutritional care.
Well, I appreciate you getting the word out, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.